I want to thank Brother Dennis for doing a fine job and leading us in our singing. I want to thank Brother Jason for an excellent lesson over the Lord's table. Brother Roland for his wonderful prayer. I thank Brother Kevin for reading the scripture this morning. It's been a wonderful day of worship, and I hope you've been just as encouraged as I have on this Lord's Day so far. Today is a very special day for me, not just mainly because it is the Lord's Day. It is a day of worship to the Lord, first and foremost. But I'm also very happy that my family from Texas that raised me and had a big part in helping me have a great life as a young person gets to be with my family here in Phoenix. And it's just very special to Janice and I that my grandmother who raised me is here and my aunt who essentially grew up together. She was like my big sister. They're here today and with some of the finest people in the country, on the planet. And I've been telling them so many great things about you, so don't embarrass me. I've been saying good things about you, so. I would say that my grandmother and my aunt were here to see me mainly, but I know that's not the case. I know the two little ones are more important than me, and I'll tell you how I know that. They went shopping yesterday, and they didn't bring me anything. But the kids got something. So I'm just so happy they're here to meet these fine Christian people in this place. I want to begin the lesson this morning by asking you a question. And the question is, have you ever had someone in your life that you knew was your enemy? You ever had someone in your life that you knew was your enemy? For example, maybe you had a person who gossiped about you and they tried to destroy your name and your reputation with other people. Maybe you had someone who insulted you or they insulted a member of your family. Maybe you had someone who was always on your case and always just giving you a hard time. I mean, no matter what you did, you couldn't please this person. This person was always going to find fault was something that you did. Maybe you had someone who hurt you so bad that to this day, all you can do is find yourself thinking about them. I mean, to this day, these people are impacting your dreams. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, they're the first thing on your mind. You ever had somebody like that in your life before? Well, if so, let me ask you this now. How are you supposed to feel about that person? What are you supposed to do about that person? How are you to respond to that person as a child of the Lord? You got your Bible with you this morning. I think Jesus answers this question for us in the most famous sermon in the history of the world, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Will you please go to Matthew chapter 5? I want to read from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and verse 43. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus taught this. He said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he caused his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." I want you to process and notice carefully what the Lord is saying here. Particularly, I want you to pay close attention to what Jesus said in verse 44. I want to suggest to you that while the Lord certainly gives a lot of challenging statements in the gospel, there may be none more challenging than what you find in verse 44 of Matthew chapter 5. In fact, I'm going to tell you that the more I study the Word of God, the more I am convinced that what we find in that verse may be the most difficult commandment found in all the Bible. It may be the most difficult commandment that is found in all of the scriptures. I want you to notice how, in addition to loving other people who clearly love us back, Jesus also tells us to love people who hate us. Jesus also tells us to love people who despise us and they want what is worse for us. Jesus also tells us to love people who have scarred us and hurt us deeply in our lives. That's what the Lord tells us to do here. And let me just ask you, can you think of anything harder to do than that? Can you think of anything that is harder to do than what Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse number 44? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I can't think of anything harder to do than that. This is extremely difficult. In fact, this was even difficult for the Jews in the first century. You see, even the Jews in the first century did not want to do what Jesus taught on this occasion. In fact, they were so determined to not do this. They were so determined to not love their enemies that you know what they would do? They would actually twist the scriptures. They would actually go to the scriptures in the Old Testament. And they would twist them in such a way to make it seem like God was okay with them just loving their neighbors and hating their enemies. I mean, that is exactly what the Lord is referring to in verse 43 of that chapter. In verse 43, when Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy," when he says, "You have heard that it was said," there he's referring to the false teaching that the scribes and the Pharisees gave on this issue. The scribes and the Pharisees did not want to love anyone beyond those who loved them back. They would twist the scriptures when it came to this issue. The question is, what about us this morning? The question is, are we, as the children of God, are we different than them? I mean, does our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? Unlike the scribes and the Pharisees, are we willing to love our enemies even though doing that can be very, very difficult? If you're like me and you struggle when it comes to doing this, I want to give you three reasons why we still got to do it. First, we have to do what Jesus says here, even though it is extremely difficult, because number one, he commands us to. I mean, that really should be the sermon right there. We got to do this just because Jesus says so. Just because he's the Lord, just because he's the master. And I think we can all agree that submitting to the master, submitting to the Lord, isn't that one of the key aspects of being a disciple? Doing what Jesus says? Jesus talked about this throughout the gospel. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" John 14 and verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John 15, verse 13. "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Matthew 28 and verse number 20, where Jesus says that if we're going to be his people, we have to observe not just some of what he says, but we have to observe all of what he says. Over and over again, Jesus tells us that if we're going to be his people, we have to obey him. It's not enough for us just to read his words in the gospel. It's not enough for us just to understand his words in the gospel. It's not enough for us to even teach what he says in the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we also got to do it. We also have to submit to it. We also have to obey his commandments. This is something that is emphasized throughout the ministry of Jesus. And I think we got to emphasize it this morning, because unfortunately, let me tell you something, for so many people, they have a very distorted view of the gospel. For so many people, when it comes to the New Testament or the gospel, or the New Covenant, they refer to it as nothing more than a love letter. You ever heard people say it before? You ever heard people say that the gospel or the New Covenant, it's nothing more than a love letter from God? What do people mean when they say that? What do people mean when they say that the New Testament is nothing more than a love letter? Well, simply put, my friends, when people say that, what they mean is in the New Testament, it only focuses on love. It only focuses on how much God loves us and how much he values us. There is no law in it. There are no commandments. There are no rules and requirements that God expects us to keep. There is no need to respect the silence of God. That's what people mean when they say that the gospel is nothing more than a love letter. But I want to say this. The main problem with that thinking is it's just not true. It's just not biblical. It is just not what we learn when we open up the gospel and study it for ourselves. You see, while it is certainly true that the new covenant does have a lot to say about love, we need to also understand that it does contain law. It contains rules and requirements that God expects us to keep. And let's just be honest about it this morning. At least for me, for a lot of those commandments, they're not really that hard to obey. I don't know about you, but it's not hard for me to obey the commandment to love my wife. It's not hard for me to obey that commandment to honor my wife and to take care of my wife. It's not hard for me to obey the commandment to love my kids. It's not hard for me to obey the commandment to take care of my kids and raise up my kids in the ways of God. It's not hard for me to keep the commandment not to murder or not to steal or not to kill or even to honor my parents. Keeping those commandments, they're not really hard for me to do. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think the same can be said when it comes to this commandment right here. I don't think the same can be said when it comes to what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. When you go in your Bible to Romans, the 12th chapter, and listen to what the Apostle Paul says here in Romans 12, beginning with verse number 14. In Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 14, Paul says, "Bless those who persecute you." Listen to that. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." But if your enemy, listen to this, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Notice how here the Apostle Paul echoes the very same thing Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Like Jesus taught, here Paul is saying that we got to love everybody, even our enemies. We got to even love those people who don't love us, who don't love us back. And again, that's certainly not easy to do, is it? It's not easy to bless our enemies. And to be humble towards our enemies and to live peaceable with them and avoid taking vengeance. That's not easy to do. You know what the easy thing to do is? The easy thing to do is do the opposite of everything Paul is saying here. The easy thing to do is to be like the world and seek to get even with our enemies. Seek to take vengeance against our enemies. Refuse to show them any kind of mercy and grace because they didn't show us any kind of mercy and grace. The easy thing to do is let my pride take over. The easy thing to do is let my ego stand in the way of me showing compassion to people who may not deserve my compassion. It is not easy to do what the Lord is saying here in this verse. You know I'm telling the truth about that. But regardless of how difficult this may be, my brothers and sisters, we still got to do it. We still have to do what Jesus says here. And the main reason why is because he's the Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. And our responsibility is to do what he says, whether we like it or not. We need to love all people, even our enemies. Number one, because Jesus said so. But here's a second reason why we need to do it. A second reason why we need to love our enemies is because we are called to a higher standard. As Christians, we are called to a higher standard than the world. We are called to be different than the world. I want you to think about something. If we treat people, the people around us, even our enemies, like the people in the world treat people, then guess what? We're no different than the world. We're no different than those who are outside of the body of Christ. We're no different than those who are considered to be heathens in the eyes of God. If we treat people no different than the world does, then we're not different than the world. We're just like the world. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 5 and listen again to what Jesus said in verse 45 this time. Matthew 5, 45. And if you want to put your Bible marker there, that's fine, because we're going to be coming back here for the sake of emphasis. After Jesus tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, he says in verse 45, here is why: so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now watch verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Notice here how Jesus says. He says that when it comes to doing good to people who already like us, it's not special about that. There's nothing unique about that. Even the sinners do that. Even the heathens do that. Even the heathens do good to people who do good to them. Even the heathens bless those who bless them. Even the heathens are nice to people who are already nice to them. I mean, if we already do that kind of stuff, Jesus says you're no different than the heathens. That's what he says. But here's the point he's making here. The point he's making is he's called us to be different than the heathens. He's called us to be different than the world. He's called us to think different than the world, to act different than the world, and to even treat our enemies different than the world. He's called us to love our enemies. Practically speaking, that means that he has called us to pray for our enemies, to compliment and bless our enemies, not insult our enemies, not try to settle scores with our enemies. He has called us to not hold grudges against our enemies and not be embittered against our enemies. And he has called us to refuse to be negative towards them, even though they may be negative towards us. If we see them with a flat tire on the side of the road, Jesus has not called us just to pass them by and not help them because we're mad at them. No, Jesus called us to stop and help them. If they're in the hospital and they're sick, Jesus has called us to go and visit them. If they're hungry and they need food, Jesus called us to make a meal for them. If they have a sick family member, Jesus called us to go to them and look them in the eye and say, "We're so sorry to hear about that. I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for your family member." If our enemy is currently lost in their sins, Jesus has not called us to say, "Well, I hope they just die and go to hell." No, instead, he has called us to look for opportunities still to talk with them about the gospel. He has called us to look for those open doors, to sit down with them and study the word of God with them and be kind to them and tenderhearted and compassionate towards them because we love them. We want to help them go to heaven, even though they may not like us for a time. That's what the Lord has called us to do. And you know what that means? That means that he's called us to a high standard, hasn't he? We have a high standard. While the world only loves those who loves them back, as Christians, we're different. We're different than the world. We don't live by the standard of the world. We live by the standard of Jesus. And Jesus says we need to love our enemies. In fact, this brings us to the final point I want to share with you this morning, and it's this. Not only must we love our enemies because it's commanded, and because we've been called to a higher standard. But third and finally, I want to say that we need to love our enemies because we've been called to be imitators of God. Specifically, we've been called to love like God loves. We've been called to love like our Father who is in heaven. Did you notice that back in the text? Go back to Matthew chapter 5 one more time. And we're going to go back to verse 45. Jesus says you love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Here's why. So that you may be sons. Do you see that? So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, and I want you to notice carefully here how this verse connects back to everything else he's been saying so far. Do you see that? Therefore, because I'm saying this, you ought to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There are a couple of verses I want you to pay close attention to in this section, okay? The first verse I want you to notice is verse 45. Notice how in verse 45, Jesus says that we need to love our enemies because if we love our enemies, that will make us sons of the Father who's in heaven. Do you see that? Question, what does that mean? What does it mean that when Jesus says that we need to love our enemies because doing so will make us sons of the Father who's in heaven? We'll simply put what Jesus means here, that if we really want to be children of God, if we really want to be sons and daughters of God, if we really want God to be our heavenly Father, then we got to strive to be just like him. We got to strive to act like him. We got to strive to think like him. Particularly here in this context, we got to strive to love like him. We got to love like God loves. And someone says, well, Sean, how does God love? Well, my friend, Jesus answered that question in the same verse. Going back to verse 45, notice how Jesus says that God is a God who makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. Do you see that? Do you see how he says that God is a God who causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike? What is Jesus implying when he says those things? Well, when Jesus says those things, what he's implying is when it comes to all people, when it comes to the righteous and the wicked, the sinner and the heathen, the Christian and the non-Christian, there is a sense in which God is extending blessings to everybody. There is a sense in which God is doing good to everybody. I mean, think about it. Whether you're gathered for worship this morning at this place in this church building because you want to love God or you want to worship God, or whether you're out jogging like we saw a lot of people doing this morning on the way to services, or if you're out climbing a mountain somewhere or fishing or hiking because you don't care about God, you don't want to worship God, you don't want to give God honor, it doesn't matter whether you're here or out in the mountain somewhere. Guess what? The same sun is still shining on you. The same oxygen is going in your nostril. The same God is blessing you to be alive today. You see, by God just sustaining the world, there is a sense in which God is extending love to everybody. There is a sense in which God is extending blessings to everybody, to the heathen and to the faithful Christian. That's the point the Lord is making in verse number 45. But I want you now to notice the last verse of the chapter. Notice how in verse number 48, Jesus says, not only will loving our enemies make us sons of the Father, but he also says that loving our enemies will make us perfect. The context here is loving our enemies. He says if we love our enemies, we will be perfect like God is perfect. Question, what does that mean? What does Jesus say here? What does he mean when he says we got to be perfect? Is he saying that we got to be sinlessly perfect? Is he saying that we got to have no faults, that if we're going to make it to heaven, we have to be like Jesus and never committed one sin in our lives? Is that what the Lord is talking about there? That can't be the case. Let me tell you something. If that was the case, then none of us would be saved. All of us would be lost. We all missed that sinner's perfection boat a long time ago. You see, here when Jesus talks about being perfect, he's not talking about sinless perfection. Instead, he's using the word perfect to talk about completeness or maturity. He's talking about completeness or maturity. In the context here, he's talking about the need to love our enemies. He is saying that if we want to have a perfect, complete, and fully mature kind of love in our hearts like God does, then we got to love everybody. We even got to love those who don't love us back. That's what the Lord is saying. If you want to have a fully mature kind of love like God does, you got to love everybody. You even got to love your enemies, and know that does not mean that we are to approve of the sinful actions that our enemies may do. Jesus is not talking about approving of sin and wicked behavior, but he is talking about being kind to our enemies. He is talking about doing good towards our enemies. He is talking about being gracious and even being willing to extend blessings towards our enemies. It actually reminds me of the verses that Brother Kevin read for us earlier. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5 again and look what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, therefore, after telling us to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving towards each other like God was toward us. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And he says, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Notice here how Paul says that if we're going to be imitators of God, we got to love like God. We got to love like Jesus. We got to be willing to do good towards people regardless as to whether or not they reciprocate that. It reminds me of Jesus when he was on the cross in Luke 23 and verse 34. Remember that? Remember how as Jesus was on that cross and he was dying for us, and the people underneath the cross were mocking him. And they were just saying, just insulting things. They were saying, you saved others, but you can't save yourself. Call on Elijah. See if Elijah will come and save you. They were saying all kind of hurtful things towards Jesus. And yet, even though they were insulting him at a high level, what did he say when he prayed to God? He said, Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Notice how even though people were mocking Jesus and showing so much hatred towards him, he still showed love for them, didn't he? He still prayed for them. He still desired their salvation. In fact, not only did he desire their salvation, but there on that occasion, he was doing some about their salvation, wasn't he? Jesus was actually dying for the very people who were mocking him on the cross. Whether they knew that or not, Jesus was dying for his enemies that surrounded the cross. And let me tell you this, not only did he die for the enemies that surrounded the cross, he also died for enemies like Sean Jeffries. He also died for enemies like all of us in the room this morning. I say that because I'm going to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5, and this will be the last place we go. Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul said this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were what? Enemies. We were enemies. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Notice how there was a time before I became a Christian when I was an enemy of God. I was an enemy of the Father who's in heaven. We were all enemies of God, and yet even though we were all enemies of God, Even though there was a time we all lived lives contrary to the will of God, the Bible says God still showed love for us at the highest level by giving us his son to die on the cross. God was looking out for us even where he was when we were his enemies. Can you believe that? I want to suggest that is something that we got to always remember. Whenever we find ourselves struggling when it comes to doing what these verses teach, whenever we find ourselves wanting to take vengeance, whenever we find ourselves harboring grudges and wanting to hurt people who have hurt us, we got to always remember that if God treated us the very same way, we all would be lost. None of us would have a chance to be saved. If God treated us like we sometimes want to treat our enemies, we all will be lost forever. And so Jesus says that if we want to be children of God, we got to strive to be perfect. We got to strive to be perfect in our love. We got to strive to love everybody, even those who may not love us back. That's one of the keys to being a true disciple of Jesus. And my question is, are you that? Are you a true disciple of Jesus? Or are you someone who is seeking to obey the commandments of God, no matter how difficult those commandments may be? I want to close by submitting this to you. I want to close by correcting something I said earlier. Well, I did say that keeping the commandment to love our enemies can be hard. Here's the truth. The truth is because God has blessed us in ways unimaginable. Because God has taken care of our greatest need through his son. The fact of the matter is, if we're truly dedicated to him and if we truly love him, no commandment from God should really be that difficult to obey. Not even the commandment to love our enemies should be difficult to obey if we love Jesus, the Son of God. And so if there's someone here this morning and you need to become a disciple for the first time, if there's someone here and you realize you're an enemy of God and you're tired of being God's enemy because you're in sin, if we can immerse you into the waters of baptism and welcome you into the family of God, it will be our pleasure to do so. Come to the front right now. Let's stand. Let's sing.